You knew he wouldn't like that score. Why did you share it with yours?
He did it on purpose.
He did it on purpose.
He saw us coming, and he gave us the old noogie.
He's an antagonizer. Total offense in the first half to Sales, 134, 124 rushing and 10 passing for St. Charles. 37 on the ground, 24 in the air. 6 first downs for the Stallions, 5 for the Cards. 2 penalties for 20 yards against St. Charles, 5 for 36 against DeSales. No turnovers for St. Charles, but for DeSales, 4. 2 fumbles and 2 interceptions. The scoring, DeNapoli took it in 2 yards with a pass to Williams. Stye with the PAT made it 7-0 St. Charles. And then an answer by Joey Velasquez as he goes 65 yards. And Tawaya with the PAT. Knots things at 7 apiece. Individual stats. Bryant, 14 carries but only 27 yards. DeNapoli, 2 of 5 passing for 24 yards and a 2-yard touchdown. Velasquez, 6 carries, 78 yards, including that 65-yard touchdown run. And for Joey, also 4 of 7 passing, 10 yards with 2 picks. Ball, 6 carries, 28 yards. Quinn, 5 for 22. Larry, what are you watching for in the second half?
I want to know who the St. Charles quarterback is going to be. That's the biggest thing for me, because if it's not going to be your normal starter, Dan DeNapoli, it's going to be tough for St. Charles to move the football, and the DeSales defense might take this game over.
Tawaya has it teed up to start the second half. The middle of the 40-yard line going left to right. And we are underway second half, week number 6 on St. Gabriel Radio. The return is going to start from the 10-yard line. Up across the 20. And starting out the ball is free. And the return man falls right back on the football. Number 8, Drew Williams, had it ripped away as he did a 360 and still falls on the football.
Well, that was Mason Washington coming through the wedge there for the DeSales Stallions. And all he did was tackle the football. He didn't hit the man at all. He just put his arm around the football and ripped it out.
Which is something to do with his hands, considering he's had a broken finger. And just coming back into action and risking his paw, putting it in there. And we'll see what happens now. It's going to be Mason at quarterback to start the second half. So Daniel DeNapoli not able to go to start the second half. And it'll be Andrew Mason getting the nod again, the 6'3", 160-pound junior. Out of the gun now with 2 wide to either side and 1 back in the backfield. Bryant in the backfield. Row in motion, bottom to top. And we've got whistles and we've got hankies before we start things off.
It was a late snap. Everybody else was moving, but the ball was just a little bit slow getting back there.
Ball started as a call, with that being said, on the offense. According to our referee, Todd Spencer, his gang concludes Chris Watkins as umpire, head linesman Donnie Sullivan, line judge Patrick Hunter, and the back judge Chris Harry.
Now, if you're going to play with your backup quarterback, you cannot have these kind of mistakes, because now it's first and 15, and you may or may not have the ability to erase that loss of 5 yards.
Nate Meyer's going to check in with a play for Mr. Mason.
Well, I got to believe Taylor Bryant's going to get this football somewhere. He's back there.
Meyer and Griffith to the top of the formation, 2 wide to the bottom. One man in motion, that's Rowe, bottom to top. And you're right, it's Brian who's got it on the handoff up across the 20 to the 21, maybe the 22-yard line. So he'll gain back the penalty, set up a second down situation now for the Cards, second and 10.
He's running the football pretty stoutly tonight. I mean, he's getting his good pad level down, and he's exploding on contact. And, you know, that's a 5-yard gain, which should be second and 5. Without the penalty, it would be second and 5.
This time it's Rowe who will check in with the play from the bench. Again, the offensive coordinator is also the head coach, Deke Hoker. So it'll be second and 10 now from back at the 22-yard line. In essence, they lost a down. Again, Rowe in motion, bottom to top. This time he'll get the handoff in stride, try to turn the corner. Goes to the outside, across the 25 to the 30-yard line before he's knocked out of bounds. And we'll see where he's marked out officially. I think it's going to be the 30, so I think they're going to have a third down and 2 awaiting them.
It's a big play for St. Charles, because the ability to keep the ball away from DeSales and to move the chains and change field position.
Third and 2 from the far hash, going right to left in this third quarter. 11-11 left to go, with 7s on both sides. 7 and 11, those are lucky numbers.
I don't gamble.
I don't either.
Well,
but I count on you being here. Sometimes that's a gamble.
5-1 odds.
For a guy that doesn't gamble, you knew that pretty rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
3 wide to the bottom, 1 to the top, 1 back in the backfield to the left of Mason. And everybody and his brother violated the neutral zone. It'll be encroachment and a gift 5 yards. And St. Charles will indeed get their first down.
The sale showed zone on the initial alignment, but they were bringing a corner. Well, it's actually an outside linebacker off the corner, and both inside linebackers. So it was going to be a 7-man rush, and they were going to play man.
So it'll be first and 10 now for St. Charles from the 35. 2-3 on the campaign last year, 1-9. 19th right now in Division 2, Region 7. Whilst you look at the sales, and they are 3-2, 11th in Division 3, Region 11. from the 35-yard line. Second man through, got the handoff, and after being hit at the 33-yard line, he spins around and gets up to the 37. So instead of a loss of two, Bryant makes it a gain of two on the play.
See, that's that hidden yardage you talk about in football. That should have been a two-yard loss, and it ended up being a two-yard gain. So it's actually 4 yards to the positive. And that's the yardage that's hidden. You don't see it on the stat sheet. That's important.
Should there be an abbreviation, HY?
No.
Like
high? No, we don't need any more statistics.
All right. You like yak, though?
I guess.
Yards after contact? Second down, and we'll call it just about eight. They'll keep it on the ground again. Nice little burst at the line of scrimmage. Bryant's going to get it up across the 40. So maybe the 41-yard line will be third down from there, third and about four.
Well, I got a feeling we're going to see another seven-man front. I don't think DeSales believes that Mr. Mason can throw the football effectively against him. He might be able to complete a pass or two, but I think he can't beat them throwing the ball.
Velasquez on the tackle at the time, and with that being said, third and four from the 41. Officials timeout, and is it the uniform patrol again? Yep. Big number 54 is being sent out of the contest. That's Baron Froelich.
He's got blood.
Got blood on his left arm.
It's actually Rodus Johnson, isn't it?
Yeah, 54. 56. Is it 54?
Yeah,
oh,
56.
You're right. It is Rodus Johnson coming out. So Rodus will come out for a play. And on third down play, Mason rolling to his right, looking, rolling, throwing downfield and overthrowing O'Neill, the tight end and the intended receiver at the 48-yard line near the sideline. So that'll set up a fourth down and four with 9:50 left to go. And they attend to RJ right now as they're bandaging up his left arm.
And passing downs, DeSales is simply going to go man-to-man, and they're going to challenge the quarterback to throw the football into man coverage, and they're going to put pressure on him.
Jake Moore to punt, standing in his own 28. High snap, gets it down, and a high-hanging punt. Cerrone will go to the far side of the field, watch it hit at the 26, scoop it up on a dangerous hop, and be whirled around at the 27-yard line. Got back to where he originally caught it. Maybe pick up a yard on the play. That's about it. So go 33 yards on the punt, and generously we'll give him 2 yards on the return with 9:40 left to go. And now the Stallions will have the ball for the first time in the second half, tied at 7 apiece.
That was actually a high-risk play by Mr. Cerrone, but it was a good play because that ball looked like it might have continued to roll another 7 or 8 yards, and he just fielded the ball. And again, there's that hidden yardage again. The 7 didn't take, and now you don't have to make up those 7 when you're running the football.
St. Charles, a loser to Washington Courthouse last week, 29-14, and the sales fell to Cove Calf by a count of 35-14. So it is first down and 10 now from the 27-yard line for Velasquez and company. And they head it off, and there's a gap right up the middle. Look out. Here goes big number 28, Mr. Quinn. Down the far sidelines, 20, 15, 10, 5. He's going to take it the distance, some 73 yards. And just like that, the Stallions will take the lead for the first time in this contest as Quintel Quinn, the 6'1 sophomore, hit the seam at around the 38-yard line and then just turned on the afterburners and took it the distance, 73 yards, to make it 13-7.
Just a shotgun handoff going to the right side, and good kick out by the offensive guard, and see on down the road.
Cerrone to hold Tawaya for the 14th point with 9:28 left to go, and that was easy.
Well, it looked easy. It was.
I was hitting my little red button. Snap, the kick, it is up. We stand at 14-7 with 9:28 left to go. We'll pause for 30 seconds here on St. Gabriel Catholic.
Hi, I'm Vince DeAndre, Motor Mart. We've been a family business serving the Columbus community for over 28 years. To us, being a family business means we treat every customer like family. We have two locations, one on the corner of Morse Road and Cleveland Avenue, and the other on East Main Street with a full service center. We have about 400 vehicles in stock. Visit our website at miraclemotormart.com and experience the miracle difference. Ask for me, Vince DeAndrea.
Guys, DeSales scores right away in the second half. So does Hartley. 42-7 now. They lead Waterston. Also a good one going on. Speaking of games Reedy has coming up, London leads Academy at the half, 21-20.
And we'll have Reedian Academy and Reedian Whitehall coming up later in the season. You mentioned it's a killer schedule for the Silver Knights.
It is. It is. And but I would take that schedule. We didn't. You don't have to at least go to Pittsburgh and...
Or as I say, Minford, Winford, and Blinford.
And Kentucky and West by God, Virginia, and Indianapolis, and parts unknown.
One play, 73-yard drive for DeSales as Quint takes the distance in 12 seconds, and now the Stallions lead 14-7. We mentioned that DeSales lost a Cub Calf. I have to say that there's about six teams in Kentucky that merit attention, and Cub Calf is one of those teams. So DeSales, even when they go out of state, they challenge themselves.
They probably wish they didn't have to do that.
They covered Trinity and St. X a few times on TV. Out of Louisville, those are decent teams. But really, the caliber of most Kentucky football is not on par with that here in the Buckeye State. Kawhiyah with the boot again, up 14-7. A line drive knuckleball that scooped up eventually. Williams, after a couple of hops at the 13, he got up to the 21, and there's a flag tossed by a referee some 20 yards, and there's another one tossed along the far side. Our umpire holding is going to be the call. Let's see if it's the same call between umpire and referee.
Yep, it is. It's a hold.
So mark it back, and it'll be a long field for the backup quarterback now for St. Charles, Mr. Mason, to have to go and deal with now, down 14-7.
Remember the old wrestler, the Sheik?
Yes.
He came from parts unknown. We played his high school.
Did you now?
Yeah, parts unknown. We didn't hear where we were, but it was parts unknown.
What is the furthest you traveled for a game, do you remember?
Ooh, well, let's see. We went to Indianapolis. We went to Wheeling. We went to east of Wheeling by an hour and a half, so I guess maybe that would be it. We're in central Pennsylvania. Yeah, I think that might be the farthest. We did play the Chicago, Illinois team, but we played them in Indianapolis. So,
first and 10 from the 12 for Mason. Quick pop, pass batted down at the line of scrimmage.
Chicago Immaculate Conception, defending state champions in the state of Illinois and Chicago Catholic League champions, and we decided to open up with them. There's some smart coaching.
Harris, by the way, batted down the pass. Could I ask what the score was?
Yeah, 31-30. We blocked an extra point with 19 seconds. I told the kids, just get on the bus. Don't shower. Let's get out of town. They're going to eat us. And we did. We got on the bus, and we got out of Dodge.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep, we blocked an extra point. They were laughing at. They should have been laughing at us.
I want the rights to the book and the movie. That's all I'm saying.
I'm telling you.
The man that is Larry Wolf. Second down and 10 from just past the 11 at the 12-yard line. Three wide to the bottom, one to the top, one back in the backfield. I think it's time for a running play, but it's going to change because the ball is snapped low into the left of Mason, so he just cradles it back inside the 10 at around the 8-yard line. So now it's going to be third and even worse.
We once scouted the wrong team. How about that? Both teams in this courage were wearing black and red. We picked the wrong one. We scouted the wrong team.
You never showed up at the wrong stadium for a game, did you?
Nah, not that I know of, but our technician did. He's waving at us. We're going to get Savolti some GPS for Christmas or something.
Third down and 13. I once showed up for a game without notes. Had the wrong bag, and I had my clothes in there in a different bag. Third and 13. I look great. Well, I'm going to keep it on the ground. Well, as good as I can look, right? And I'll keep it on the ground, and it'll be Eversaw on the carry. Gets it up to the 10, and that's it. So now it's a punting situation.
Hey, you can dress him up. You just can't take him anywhere.
I had to call home and say, could you bring my notes out to me?
Better than bringing your clothes.
I do have a nice shirt here, but it's not going to help me call this game.
I've got my notes. I just don't have my clothes. I'm doing it all natural.
Oh, my.
Welcome to
St. Gabriel Radio. Mm-hmm. Fourth down and long. Punting situation for Moore from his own goal line. Gets it off.
Nice
shot. Cerrone from the 46 of St. Charles to the 40, to the 36, and down at the 36-yard line. St. Charles not only trying to tackle Cerrone, but trying to tackle the ball. 36 yards on the punt and 10 yards on the return. So a net of 26 with 7:57 left to go.
This is that point in the game where historically a DeSales team would take over this game. Let's see if they can do it now. They're in position. I mean, they're up 14-7. They've got the ball in great field position. The quarterback for their team is out. So, I mean, all these factors factor into what's going to happen here now. And if DeSales can put another one on the board, it could be tough for St. Charles.
Jalen Ball will be in the backfield this time instead of Quintel Quinn. Again, they kind of alternate because they both start at linebacker. And we've seen nice bursts from both of them, including Quinn with that 73-yard touchdown. Hands it off. That ball cuts it left and right. Then backs his way inside the 30 to around the 29-yard line. And it changes the scenario because it used to be that Joey Velasquez would have been the featured back. Now he's the quarterback. Obviously, he can still run it. But also, he's going to have to hand it off a lot more. You look at the far side, Larry, and they've got like mini lights from their phones, their cell phones that they're showing. It looks like sparklers along the far side of the field, and they're letting them go. The front row turn theirs off in the second. So imagine that little wave of darkness working from bottom to top.
Kids these days.
Velasquez keeps it. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, cuts it back, and nobody's going to get him. Joey with a nice cut back at the 13-yard line goes 29 yards for the touchdown. And now, with 7:18 left to go, it's 20-7 in favor of the Sales.
I'm going to go on record here and say that Coach Wiggins had a few things to talk to these fellas about at halftime. We may have to get a new paint job for the locker room because the walls may be blistered, but I just got to believe at 7-7, he was not a bit happy with four turnovers and the kind of lackluster play that they were playing on both sides of the ball.
Joey now with six touchdowns on the ground this season, gives his team a 13-point cushion. And Tawaya now to make it 21-7.
And this is really important for DeSales because they've got some big games still coming up. They got the Hartley game, and with playoff implications, they've got to get this thing rolling.
Good snap. Tawaya with a kick. Get us up. And it is good. Timeout on the field. 21-7. 7:18 left to go. This is the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Bob Boyd Auto Family here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Education First Credit Union is dedicated to providing our members the best possible loan and savings rates in a friendly and professional manner. We offer savings and checking accounts, certificates of deposit, investment and retirement accounts, and loans including auto, home, and personal. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 811-029 and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Guys, Nick Kruner has his second touchdown of the night, and Fisher Catholic has taken a 23-0 lead over Grove City Christian. Also, Hilliard Bradley with a long touchdown pass. They now lead Scioto 21-10.
There are some teams I can't figure out this year in the OCC.
Well, figure out Darby. They're losing 21-7 to Berlin. Now, why is it Berlin? You know, the rest of the world is Berlin. But here in Ohio, it's called Berlin.
Gotcha, Paul. We have Lancaster, not Lancaster.
At least it's not Lancashire.
That last drive, by the way, was two plays, 36 yards, 39 seconds off the clock.
That's called
it's efficiency. Rushi is the city.
Rushi.
Instead of Russian.
They won the state baseball championship the same year we did, 1971. They were Class A, we were Double A, and Triple A was a joke. It was Fairfield, or Fairmont Kettering West, I think.
So Tawaya has it teed up at the 40-yard line. And now St. Charles with the mountain to climb down 14, high and short.
They got
and
it.
There's an open spot there, and it's scooped up by the Sales. It is Faulkner who caught it on the hop. Faulkner's got it, and he's down at the 31-yard line. So the Sales will get it back. And, boy, what a perfectly executed second tier.
Well, now that ball should be spotted back here about the 38 or 39 because you cannot advance a kick. You can recover, but you can't advance it. And they're going to spot it down at the 31, so that's not a good spot. That ball was recovered at about the 39-yard line. That's...
Ball's going to be marked at the 32-yard line. 7:15 left to go.
And I think the officials are getting together and trying to figure out where that ball was actually touched because you cannot advance a kickoff. Even if you recover it on an onside kick, you can't advance it. You can recover, but you cannot advance it. And I know that because we actually caught one of our own kickoffs once and ran it for a touchdown.
How tough is this for St. Charles now to go ahead and you're down 14 and you have to give up the football?
Well, and... Listen, they were every bit in this game with their quarterback in the game. They were every bit in it, but now they've kind of lost that little bit of swagger that they had initially, and suddenly they can't move the ball because they're running against a 7- and 8-man front. Safety coming down in the box, 3 linebackers, 4 down linemen. That's 8 guys. It's tough to run against that.
I think they're going to mark it at the 37 because that's where he got the hop.
That's close. That's close. It's a lot closer than the 31.
So first and 10 thanks to Faulkner, who, by the way, goes wide to the bottom of the set. Two wide to the top, along with the wing, one back in the backfield for Velasquez, who's going to call his own number on the quarterback draw and find the gap. 35, 30, 25, cuts to the outside, Dillon to the 20, inside the 15-yard line, and undercut right there by Roland Rowe. They're going to mark him down one step inside the 15-yard line, and the route could be on.
Very nice play there that time. They faked the handoff, and basically it was a quarterback isolation play. They pulled the backside guard, wrapped him up through the hole, so now they had two lead blockers, a backside guard and a running back. And Joey Velasquez got through the hole clean, and I don't know how many yards it was, but it was a bunch.
It was 22, and he's got to be over the century mark now in this contest. He's got 129, first and 10 from just inside the 15-yard line. This time it's ball. He tries to find a gap and got away from the initial surge, but did not get up to the line of scrimmage. The guy that snuck through there was number 56, and that's Connor Coretta, who actually went low and was able to submarine and get in there and try to break up the play.
One of the things I'm not liking right now is the offensive line play by DeSales. They're not staying with their blocks. The St. Charles is slipping off too many blocks, and they're getting too many free runners through the line of scrimmage. That's got to be cleaned up. Good on St. Charles, but not so good for DeSales.
Second down, it's a little bit more than 10 from the 16-yard line. We have whistles before the start of the play. We've got encroachment on the defense, so DeSales will pick up 5 yards. I think we had somebody lined up in the neutral zone that time for St. Charles. You know, Larry, early in the contest, you kind of get warned, don't you?
Yep.
Sometimes by the officials,
sure,
the line judge, the linesman.
They'll tell you if you're close.
And after that, initially, if you're in the neutral zone, you're kind of on your own. So a gain of 5 with the penalty. It's make it second down and 6 now. With 6:26 left to go in the third quarter. The sales up now 21-7. Harris, the H-back, to the top of the set now. One man in motion. Velasquez is going to keep. Joey calls his own number. Gets it inside the 10-yard line, down to around the 9 and maybe the 8.
And St. Charles is pretty much doing to DeSales what DeSales is doing to St. Charles. They're putting 8 in the box, putting 5 or 6 on the line of scrimmage, filling all the gaps with the linebacker play, saying, you can't beat us throwing the football. And it's going to be a little tougher to run in there.
Third down and just about 4. The ball resting just inside the 10. They need to get it past the sticks at the 6-yard line. 5:45 left to go again. St. Charles down by 14 points. Robinson to the bottom, along with Faulkner. One wide at the top. Ball in the backfield. And throwing it into the corner of the end zone. The pass, coming back to it to make the catch. Does he? Yes. And there's a flag on the play. Touchdown for DeSales. But there's also a flag on the play. I think that's Cerrone along the far side there. It's about a mile and a half from us, but it looks like Cerrone with the catch.
That was a back shoulder throw that didn't quite get all the way to the back shoulder. It was a little short.
Coming back because we have a holding call against the Stallions.
That had to be on Cerrone where that flag was thrown. I don't know who else it could have been on. It was thrown in the end zone, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was thrown 1 yard deep in the end zone. So that's going to march it back across the 15-yard line to somewhere just around the 20, I would think. Put it right at the 21 with 5:29 left to go. They need to get it down to the 6, so they need 15 yards now on third down. If you don't make it here, do you give Twaya a shot again?
Absolutely, because at some point he's going to have to make one, and it's going to have to be a big one down the road.
And he's got the leg.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Just finding the angle.
It's not so easy with 11 ugly guys running at you.
Ball lines up to the left of Velasquez from the gun. One man in motion, that's Robinson. He fakes it to him, guns it across the middle. Has Faulkner wide open in the secondary for the touchdown. Nobody picked up big number 24. And Owen Faulkner takes it in for his third touchdown on the campaign. And now it's 27-7.
Well, they ran the jet sweep his way. And what happened is the cornerback got caught looking in the backfield. And Faulkner went right past him and he was wide open for the touchdown. You know, you run that jet sweep often enough, the corners start to get nosy and they start watching for the football, and it's too little too late when that happens.
I think we've seen that Joey Velasquez can throw the ball. Maybe the touch pattern is still something he's working on just a little bit, but he's got a rifle for an arm and just kind of controlling it and takes something off of it occasionally.
One of the hardest things that you have to do is figure out what routes he likes to throw. Quarterbacks throw certain routes better than other quarterbacks do, and they like to throw certain routes. So, you know, they'll figure that out. And when they do, he's got the arm to be a good quarterback.
Cerrone to hold. Tawaya for the extra point. The kick is up. Plenty of leg. It is up, and it is good. 28-7. 5:24 left to go in the third. We'll pause for 30 seconds here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
My name is Attorney Ed Malik of the law firm of Malik & Malik. We are a family law firm with family values. I am proud to practice law together with my three sons, Kip, Douglas, and James. Our entire family has attended DeSales, Westerville North, or St. Charles High Schools. It would be Malik & Malik's privilege to discuss with you work-related injuries and auto crash injuries. Thank you, remain safe, and God bless.
Guys, Amanda Clear Creek has kicked a field goal, so they've cut Reedy's lead to 7-3. And the team you guys saw last week, Licking Heights, they're having a tough time tonight with Granville. It is 34-7 in that one.
We thought it might be.
Yeah, I don't understand Licking Heights. They have all the talent in the world, but, you know, they really had to struggle against Newark Catholic, and we'll see if Coach Waters can right that ship. The last three drives now for the Sales, 7 plays, 146 yards, and 21 points. The last was 21 yards on the pass to Faulkner. Tawaya with a PAT, 4 plays, 37 yards, took 151 off the clock, and it's a close contest. It's now a 21-point game at 28-7.
Right, and it's going to be tough sledding for St. Charles to try and mount any kind of comeback without their quarterback. Not because he was a dominant player, but because he gave him the opportunity to throw the football a little bit.
And quite honestly, if St. Charles makes moves, normally it's just a ball control offense, right, too, and it's going to be hard to do when you're down 21 and with a backup quarterback.
And against a pretty stout DeSales defense.
Amen. Here comes Tawaya. Again, that short angular kick, and we got flags. Wow. Serious contact along the sidelines as well, too, as catching the ball is number 15, Joe Data. And a flag at the 40-yard line. Sort of this situation.
Whoa.
Larry, you saw the contact.
I did. I felt the contact.
Paint the pictures for the folks at home.
Well, basically, you had a receiver catch the ball, and it was a live ball situation, except the whistle was blowing while he's catching. Of course, you can't hear that when you're playing 25 yards downfield. However, the runner stopped. The defender did not stop, and it was a freight train hitting a bug. And, I mean, he lit him up. And I'm surprised we didn't get a penalty. I'm surprised we didn't get a penalty.
It's kind of surprised,
too. And if you look at where the officials are aligned, there's nobody near that place. It's 25 yards from either official, so it would be tough for them to see that clearly. But you could feel it up here.
So the Stallions left early on the kick, so they mark it back 5 and booted again now from the 35-yard line. Again, the Sales comes in at 3-2. St. Charles had turned it around since the opening loss we saw, where they looked pretty rough against Dublin Scioto, 56-7. They'd won 2 of their last 3, but right now DeSales with the upper hand in this contest, looking to go 4-2 on the campaign. And Tawaya now.
Kick it deep.
See what he can do from 65 yards away. No, high angular kick again. And it's caught in the 43-yard line, and the same thing again. Faulkner with the hit on the play, and Data got drilled one more time. Not as bad as last time, though.
You got a fair catch that. The kick is only 20 yards long, and it's popped up in the air. I mean, go ahead and paint a bullseye on your chest. That's just silly. Fair catch it.
Well, you're up 21 if you're looking for more motivation if you're DeSales. That defense is pumped right now and really stoked after seeing that hit again by Faulkner. So now St. Charles with work to do from the 42-yard line, a shorter field, but again down 21 with 5:22 left in the third.
That was a clean hit that time, and it was just... He got a fair catch. I think the coaches over there at St. Charles will be telling him, hey, dude, fair catch this thing.
Mason is going to be under center on this first down play from the 42. Backs offset. Mayo and Bryant. Mayo gets the handoff. Mayo goes nowhere. Off the left side, maybe got up to the 43-yard line. That's about it. Hillary and his friends were there to help knock him down.
Well, there's not going to be a whole lot of running room in there. You're talking about 7 men from tackle to tackle. And there's only 5 gaps in there. So
there's Carter Hillary. Look at him. And remember that we covered his father, yep, Chip Hillary, yep, when he played up in Westerville North.
Yep. He wasn't too bad.
No, he's pretty good.
Yeah. Where'd he go? Kansas or somewhere out there?
Yep.
Man.
Remember the great coaches with Belconi, Kevin, Dad, Lore. Second down play, Mason with the out pattern. The pass is caught. Nice job to corral that on a high pass. It's snared that time by Drew Williams, but a short gain on the play with 4:42 left to go.
There was a time there when DeSales used to play Westerville North, and you're talking about two powerhouses going at it, and they had to stop the series. Too many crazy things happening after the games and all that stuff. They just stopped it.
I remember the Belconi era, how good those teams were back then.
Very well. Look at the people they had now. Come on. Kajana Carter and some of the, I mean, are you kidding me?
He was at South.
You're right.
Yeah. But they had Monroe and Cousins.
Cousins.
And all those guys, too. And Davidson. Third down at 6 from the 45. Mason straight back to throw. Looking long downfield along the sidelines. And the pass tipped and nearly deflected. And the two are still going at it. Looks like Hillary and Rowe. And there's going to be a flag. Those two had contact at the 27. And they were still going after each other at the 20-yard line down along the sidelines.
That's a holdover from the original kickoff. The original kickoff, Roland Rowe got a little exercise because his buddy got a tough hit.
He got See who they're calling foul. On, if it's just on St. Charles or if it's offsetting. Personal
I think it's
foul.
Be on Rowe.
St. Charles.
Yep.
So, that is a dead ball situation, too. Came after the play, so they're going to mark it back. From the 45 to the 30-yard line. Again, there's contact, like I said, at the 27. Kind of a push and a shove. It led to more pushing and shoving than grabbing of uniforms as well, too. It's going to mark it all the way back to the 30. And again, that was post-play.
Yep.
So it's going to be fourth down still, too. Back at the 30-yard line. They have to get it all the way to the 48 of DeSales, so they need 22 yards. So Moore is in there to punt. High snap, floats back, pressure's on, gets it off just in time. High, not that deep, and it's caught, and fair catch called for by Cerrone. He said, you know, in light of all the fun that's been happening, I think I'll just call for the fair catch.
Wise move by Mr. Cerrone. His dad's one of the defensive coaches here.
Linebacker coach, yeah. He who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. First and 10 from the 41.
He gets arrow shot in his back. That's not a good thing.
Run faster.
Keep fast arrow. Catch man running.
All right, so this time it's going to be Quintel Quinn in the backfield.
Lost him in the rocks, Timo Sabi.
All right, Lone Ranger. Velasquez with a pump fake going long downfield for Faulkner, and he makes the catch along, but had the ball at the 32-yard line, then knocked out of his hands. A little conversation still forthcoming with Roland Rowe.
Yep, Roland Rowe's still chirping a little bit.
Ryan Wiggins says here. Oh, a nice try. Just go back to the huddle. Don't say anything. Second and 10.
Please don't say anything.
So what was the fiercest rivalry you had as a coach? Was it during your Reedy days?
Well, West Jeff Academy was pretty nasty. I mean, that was a great rivalry. We never had any problems on the field, but it was a tough game.
Second and 10 from the 41-yard line. Quinn gets it. Quintel, 45, up to midfield, tries to stretch and get to the first down. His knee touched at midfield, so we'll see if they give him perhaps only 9 on the play. It'll be third down and 1 from there. So that was a tough one.
One thing I always loved about playing West Jeff was they were so well coached. They would do exactly what they were supposed to do.
Was that Coach Metz back then?
Yep, Davey Metz. And he and I are good buddies. And their kids were just so well schooled that you knew exactly what they were going to do. They were just a doggone good at it. They were tough to beat. And so we just were a little bit better, that's all.
Third down and 1. Velasquez on the delay. He's got the first down off the right side. 45-40, stumbled to the 40. If he keeps his balance, he's still going.
Yep.
And we got a flag, though, back at the 43-yard line with 3:44 left to go. See what Todd Spencer and company want to call here, but it's back at the DeSales 43-yard line.
Yeah, Dave Metz is really, really a great coach for many, many years over there. And then, of course, the Reedy-Hartley games. I mean, come on, you can't get any better than Reedy-Hartley. Just can't.
And, of course, I remember when John Sines even was the coach at West Jefferson as well, too. Yeah. Told you the Sines story, too, when he knew he was going to retire from Hilliard.
Oh.
He said, you know what, I've had it with officiating, and personal foul's going to go against St. Charles. I'm going to exit the game during the game on my own terms.
Yep.
And there was a call that was questionable, but he looked up to me like it's going to happen.
It's going to happen right
now.
And
he went out on the field, went out there and tried to swat at the football. That got him a second unsportsmanlike and ejected, and he waves to everybody along the home side because he didn't want a big ceremony or anything like that and left the game. Stallions have it first and 10 now from the 25-yard line of St. Charles. 3:41 left to go, one back in the backfield. That's Quinn, and he's got it off the left side. Now he glides into the hole. Boy, he is a glider.
Yep.
Inside the 20 to down around the 17-yard line, I think, before Moore knocks him down.
One of the things we're starting to see now is we're starting to see a little more push.
Yep.
The ends are getting a little pushed out, a little bit wider, and there's more room inside. And that time, he just turned sideways and looked like a dance step. He just kind of moved across the turf.
When we talk about the battle of attrition, we talk about Hartley beating up teams, you know, in the second half. I think right now DeSales, with that 21-point cushion, I think St. Charles is back on their heels just a little bit. Joey Velasquez on the quarterback delay, nothing this time. Just when you think they might give up a little bit, they shut it down. Nothing there as Mayo is there to help make the hit along with Bryant's.
Well, they've run that quarterback isolation where they run the running back through the same hole, pull the backside guard, and you basically have two lead blockers. And then you got Joey V carrying the ball, so that's a pretty good threesome coming at you.
It'll be third down and two from right around the 17-yard line with 2:42 left to go in the third. DeSales leading St. Charles in this one 28-7. A score that many thought we would see, but early on it was St. Charles who led 7-0. We were tied at 7 at the half.
Look out.
Oh, look out, and the ball is free and scooped up and going the wrong way is Carter Hillary. He was coming on that jet sweep, and there was contact with he and Velasquez, and great penetration by St. Charles. They've tried that a couple times, and the mesh point has not been right.
Well, the mesh point's not right, but St. Charles is getting through that offensive line, and they're coming off the edges, and one of the things you need to do with that is you need to pull the ball and throw it right over the top, and just because it'll be a stop and go, go out and stalk block the corner and then just take off and it'll be wide open over the top.
So the ball back at the 32-yard line with 1:53 left to go. It's going to set up a fourth down situation here.
Good chance to for Joey Velasquez to work on a passing game right here.
You've got Faulkner alone on an island at the bottom, three wide at the top, including Karras.
He's got single coverage out here. He's got
and
it.
He's going long for Cerrone on the far side of the field. Can he get there? Dives for it, in and out of his hands, 3 yards deep in the end zone.
He had a chance. He got both hands on the ball, and Anthony would probably say he could make that catch. It would have been a fantastic catch, but they hit him right in the arms.
Man, he sold out for that football.
He did.
So on downs now, it goes back to St. Charles, down by 21.
He's a Cerrone. If he wants to eat tonight, he will sell out. His dad will leave him here. He won't take him home.
His dad is always so animated, too. When he comes up before the game, we always get the handshake from him.
And the hug, and he beats me up. And
that's okay.
Yeah, that part's right. I can hold my own against him.
Can I bring up a score I brought up in the past when you were coaching?
34-4. Sure.
When you were coaching Academy.
Very few schools have the ability to score two safeties in one game, but by God, we did it. We also pulled off 31 points for the Hawks.
I might have that tape somewhere because I called it on TV. Back when the earth was young. First and 10 from the 32, and so were we. Backs from a traditional eye look now with two wide to the top. And rolling is Mason to his right. Pressure's on and throws it downfield for O'Neal. Did he almost catch it? Almost did at the 41-yard line. He lofted that ball, and we talk about getting it through a window. He had a man up and a man back, and still O'Neal with his paws and fully extended because he's got a good frame, too. When you look at O'Neal at 6'4", 215, he nearly corralled that football.
If he lobbed another ball like that to O'Neal, O'Neal's going to need a bacchiotomy. I'm telling you right now, he's going to get killed. That ball hung up there for an hour and a half.
Just a reminder, you're listening to WBSG Columbus, Ohio, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, Randy Reinhardt, Larry Wolf, Greg Sivaldi. Scott Rex, glad to have you aboard. Back in the studio, it is Ryan Baker, and the guru is back in town, Lee Cochran, as well. We'll have scores and highlights and everything on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, brought to you by thisweeksports.com and Rev Local Digital Marketing. On a second down now, and 10, we've got a shoe tying exhibition being held at the 37-yard line for the Stallions.
I think Cameron O'Neal went back to the huddle and said, don't ever do that again. If you do that again, why don't I'm going to knock the taste out of your mouth.
Why don't we switch? You go out. Mason, back to throw. A little middle screen, and actually it was a little tunnel screen instead, and the pass for Williams was deflected as Karras was there. I'll tell you what, Karras has had great paws tonight.
Yeah. Well, he read the tackle. The tackle took off running to the short side of the field, and that's when you're the end and your tackle takes off downfield and the quarterback is going back to pass, it's got to be some kind of screen, and it was. The tackle's supposed to block on the corner. The defense end's supposed to rush, and it's supposed to be a nice little tunnel for the wide receiver to come underneath.
And you know, Chris Karras is replacing the injured Frank Cerrone at defensive end, and they have not missed a beat with him out there at all. Third down at 10. Throw in motion. He gets the handoff, tries to accelerate, finds a gap, is hit at the 40-yard line. There's a message hit right there, and knocked down to the 39. There's some talking going on.
Cerrone. Cerrone on the tackle. So gain of rolling road down like it was a rag doll.
Gain of 7. It's going to be fourth down and 3 now.
You know, I got to give Little Roland Rose some credit, though. I mean, he's not a big guy. He's standing his ground out there and sticking up for his own players, and I kind of like that.
He's a fighter.
Well, he didn't back off at all, and he hasn't backed off.
Were you a fighter when you played?
No, I was a lover. I love you. Just leave me alone. Don't hurt me.
Hang in with the cheerleaders instead of your teammates.
Nothing wrong with that.
Fourth down and three, and St. Charles will go for it or try to draw him off at least. Mason very demonstrative, so you know that's what he's trying to do as he was going on the really hard count, and it does not happen, so they burn a timeout. St. Charles will take their first timeout here in the second half. And with that being said, we look at the clock, and we see 26 seconds left to go. And let's go back to the studios of AMA 20, where Ryan and Lee are standing by. DeSales in control of this one, gentlemen, so far.
Yeah, DeSales really taking over in the second half. We kind of talked about that at halftime, Lee, thinking maybe the Stallions would make some adjustments here and kind of pull away.
You couldn't expect them to have four turnovers again in the half, and that kept St. Charles in there.
And, Randy, some of the other games here we're looking at. Reedy trails now at the end of three quarters, 10-7 against Amanda, so they'll have another exciting fourth quarter. And how about this, guys? Newark Catholic leads Utica 27-3, but Newark Catholic has freshman Shea Mummy in the game at quarterback. Lucas Pierce has gone down with an injury, so possibly Newark Catholic now to their third quarterback moving forward. We'll have to get the diagnosis here on Lucas, but a freshman in the game for the Green Wave.
And on the return, it's scooped up by Cerrone at the 25 to the far side and the short side, as you mentioned, up to the 34. There's only one other quarterback left, and that's Granger, I think, on their four deep at quarterback, so that's as far as they would go. And then I would guess maybe Mikey Canning has to move over to quarterback after that.
That you would even have a four deep at quarterback in Division VI school is surprising.
Well, remember, I got the stat sheet from Ryan Aiello, and he showed me that, you know, they were able to go four deep because of the fact that, you know, they had Pierce there.
Yep.
So they said, you know, we're two deep. We better make sure we have two more arms in the bullpen. Third quarter, four punts, and a lost possession and an onside kick for St. Charles with 14 seconds left to go in the third quarter. And it's all DeSales in this one, 28-7 with 14 ticks left to go.
I don't even know how many plays St. Charles has run in this quarter, but it hasn't been very many. I mean, it's been three and out, three and out, three and out.
So. Joey Velasquez brings him out. First and 10 from just inside the 35-yard line to keep it on the ground. Nice little gap right up the middle. And look out. Here goes ball. Like a bowling ball. Hit at the 43 and rolls forward to about the 36-yard line. Great burst. Got to the second level before St. Charles could react. It has a huge gain. And that could be the last play of the third quarter with 8 seconds on the clock. Will they move the chains? It'll crank it when they're all set to go. And I don't think the Stallions will run another play. They won't. We won't either. And we'll go to the fourth quarter. 28-7 to Sales leads. And we'll take a break. This is the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Bob Boyd Auto Family here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Kevin Smith help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Kevin Smith handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn you discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Hello, everyone. Dino Carfagna here for Carfagna's Kitchen and Family Restaurante. Carfagna's offers the best in casual full-service Italian dining, featuring authentic handmade pastas, pizzas, strombolis, gourmet salads, and grilled sandwiches. Weekly specials include Monday's $5 bottle house wines, Wednesday $1 glass wine night, and Thursday's featuring thick cut prime rib with two sides for under $19. Come and visit Carfagna's Kitchen at 2025 Polaris Parkway, just one block off I-71. And as always, go Stallions!
Randy and Larry, as I was talking to you guys last time, Jay Sean Norris was picking up a fumble and taking it to the house. Reedy has retaken the lead, 14-10. Also, Pickerington North pulling away from Reynoldsburg a little bit. It's 24-7.
Well, nice. We wondered about the Raiders and where they would be with their team, you know. 5-0 is a great start, but who have they played? And they're going to get a test in the second half with Pick North, Pick Central, Lancaster. Right up the middle, Velasquez goes. Joey finds a gap, 20, 15, and brought down to the 13-yard line. That was nothing more than the quarterback draw. A step back, but wait, there's a flag, and it's a hold at the 36-yard line. And we're coming back, and what a rapid start to the fourth quarter.
Well, that's a burst of speed that we've seen before from Joey Velasquez. I mean, he has the ability to just go. he hit the line of scrimmage, and there was nothing but white lines and green turf in front of him, and he took off.
Total offense after three quarters. The Sales, 329 yards. St. Charles, 88, 61 rushing, 27 passing for the Cards. For DeSales, 298 on the ground, 31 passing. So now we mark the ball at the 46-yard line of St. Charles with 11:53 left to go. Glad to have you aboard for week number six of high school football action. Reedy has got a challenge going on with Amanda.
And Amanda.
They would. Yeah. First and 10 from the 46. And batted down. Nicely done that time by a guy that has a fumble recovery already in this game on the out pattern. They were looking for their wide out, and big number 65, Connor Coretta, came up with a pause and just swatted that ball away. So it falls incomplete. We mentioned, though, too, with Reedy, what, West Jeff early in the campaign. They've got London. They've got Whitehall Academy, Grandview.
Hartley.
And Amanda.
Other than that, they don't play anybody.
No. So be careful what you wish for with less travel. You know, stay home, but play Giants. Almost cast as David every week. Velasquez going long downfield, looking for his man, and the pass is picked off on the play. Picked off at the 16-yard line, and Cerrone trying to make the tackle on the play. Finally he does, as it's picked off on the play by Joseph Umba. Umba makes the pick, and for the cornerback, that is his first interception on the campaign. 5'8", 155, and a senior. So give it back to St. Charles, so the Cardinals' secondary is not backing down.
Now, one of the things they're going to work on with Joey Velasquez this week is when the receiver, when the defender is over the top of the receiver, what I mean by that is he's in front of the receiver. Throw it short and let your guy come back and get it. That's a back shoulder throw that it's almost impossible to stop. You just have to learn not to air the ball out and throw it short.
Third interception of Joey Velasquez in this contest. Yeah. Officials timeout on the field, and they're going to send somebody else off.
Blood.
Yep. I think it's number nine. I think it's Joey Velasquez is coming off. And they'll have to clean up his left arm. Apparently it's a left arm syndrome tonight. That's the third left arm that's been attended to. First and 10 from the 12. Three backs in the backfield. Last man through has the ball. That's Bryant, and he got stood up at the 16-yard line. So a nice runoff tackle for about three, and then he pays the price. Taylor Bryant, his dad played ball at St. Charles, and his mom played softball at Bowling Green. We mentioned he had a good game against Independence, 32 carries, 180 yards. Against New Philly, 24 for 104 and two touchdowns. Against Eastmore, 19 carries for 92 yards and two scores.
How good is Eastmore right now? I don't know. They're kind of an enigma. I'm not sure exactly how good they are.
And we find out the bridge, and then I look at them, and I see them ranked higher than Hartley, and I have to go humble. And the ball's free at the 15-yard line, and the Stallions say they have it. And they do. It's Karras. I'll tell you what.
He's had a heck of a ball game.
Between Velasquez, if you're going to look at defense, too, Karras has been outstanding on defense, considering he is filling in at defensive end. I think he's found a role here to stay. The H-back and DN with another big play. He's batted down some passes and been solid defensively all night. The 6'2", 230-pound senior.
Well, if it's possible, I think Mr. Cerrone is going to get healthy in a hurry because the way Mr. Karras is playing, it makes you get healthy in a hurry.
So first and 10 to Sales now. Mark the ball right at the 15-yard line. Smack dab in the middle of the field going right to left. 10:41 left to go. And the student section has departed from St. Charles. They are gone. There's what, three people sitting over there now in that one section. Hand off, it goes to Quinn. And
how did they get out of here without us seeing them?
Motors into around the 13-yard line. I think they climbed over the back of the stands and rappelled.
Or maybe they're over here fraternizing with the sales guy.
I said, hey, how you doing?
How you doing? I know you.
Well, they have girls on this side, right? They don't have girls over there.
They might.
Gain of a couple on the play. Second down and eight. 10-17 and ticking in the fourth quarter.
Everybody's interested in seeing girls.
Sorry. Faulkner wide at the top, two wide at the bottom. Velasquez on the keeper, inside the 10, flag down. He's going to take it into the end zone, but a little hanky-panky at the 8-yard line.
There's more hanky than panky. I think the official spiked that baby. He threw that flag down like he was angry.
That was determined. The man that wanted to show off his arm holding his call against the Sales. So no score.
Well, if he was trying to throw it in the air, he failed miserably because he spiked that baby down about the 8-yard line. He put a divot in the grass.
We call that pulling a wolfie.
Fix your divot.
We're talking about umpiring here at the Sales.
Yes.
And you said it's sometimes a little difficult because of the way the sun
faces. Well, the sun is directly in center field here, so all you see is the gray of the ball. You never see the white side of the ball, so it's dark. It's hard to see. I know a lot of coaches thought it was hard for me to see, even in the
an umpire who can't see.
Wow. Go figure. It's hard to imagine that could ever happen.
The ball back at the 19-yard line. Second down from there. Second and just about 14, we'll call it. Around the left side they go. Nothing inside and churning outside and finding a gap inside the 20, the 15, the 10. And taking it in is Mr. Quinn for the touchdown. Quindell Quinn with 9:53 left to go. Adds to the score. It's now 34-7. Oh, that looked like it was perfectly blocked, and Quinn did a great job. It did not look like a sophomore in that play, waiting for his blocks to establish. Nothing inside, but then had some help for the outside. Then waited, turned the corner, and then took the diagonal into the end zone by the pylon and gets the touchdown to make it 34-7. And looking for a little icing on the kick here is Talia. Randy with the kick, and again, a solid boot. It's 35-7. 9:53 left to go. We'll step aside and remind you, you are listening to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Bobby Dawes for Bob Boyd, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Lancaster, where our loyal customers have grown to expect great service, and it all starts with the right deal. Save up to $7,250 off MSRP on a new 2019 Jeep Cherokee Limited during the Jeep Adventure Days, or up to $9,000 off MSRP on the all-new 2019 Ram 1500 4x4. Come see us at Bob Boyd, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, and Lancaster, where the best deals you'll see are always on Route 33. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
The Bob Boyd way.
Guys, Reedy's still hanging on to that 14-10 lead. Jalen January has his third touchdown of the game. Hartley leads Waterson 49-7. And Jake Richards has three touchdowns for Hilliard Bradley. They're pulling away from Scioto. It's 46-10.
Wow. Take a look at it now as Quinn will go 19 yards for the touchdown. To Wyatt, the PAT, three plays, 15 yards, 49 seconds off the clock. Quinn now 10 carries, 134 yards, and two touchdowns. Velasquez, 12 for 144, two touchdowns. He's 5 of 12 passing for two touchdowns, but I think at least three interceptions as well, too. So, Larry, start thinking about your Mark J. Mitchell good hands player of the game.
Well, we're going to have to go to our stat man here, or we might give it to a defensive player.
Mr. Karras, maybe?
Could be.
There's the high angular kick again, and they're going to catch it and call the fair catch along the far side.
There you go. Smart move. You end up with an egg on your forehead if you don't.
Eric Igwebuke with the catch that time.
Yeah, right, he's not very big either, so he needs to fair catch that thing.
So they're going to mark it at the 41-yard line. That's where St. Charles will take it back with 9:51 left to go, down 35-7 in this one. Next week we should have fun, right? Academy and Reedy from Fortress Obetz.
Fortress Obetz. I'm going to need an oxygen tank to climb up those steps.
Oh, that's a lot of fun.
Row 746.
It's kind of the same model of this stadium, except for a lot more rows. It's the same model of the press box. And we'll take it off the right-hand side to the 44. It's the exact same layout. And I think it's within 2 feet of specs, where if it were 2 feet longer, they'd have to have an elevator.
So I'm not really worried about what the inside of the press box is. I'm worried about climbing 473 steps to get up there.
I'll ask you when you get to the top how you are.
It snows at the top.
I did that last year to Logan. I said, Jeff, how you doing? But he goes, I'll get back.
I don't know.
I'll get back.
I don't know.
Second down.
Do you smoke? No, but I'm going to start. There ought to be a reason I feel
like I look like I'm on fire, don't I? They pick up three on the play. 9:14 left to go. Let's see if St. Charles can mount something. This time they go with Fitzpatrick as the up back. He may have left early. He got the handoff. No flag on the play.
He should have left earlier.
Yeah, and he's brought down right at the line of scrimmage. He tried to find the seam hunter that time, and as soon as he got the ball, he was undercut right at the 44. So it'll be third down and 7.
If you get there really, really quick, they can't hand you the ball. It's much safer that way.
The only problem is the concession stand isn't open yet, though.
That's all right.
Third down and 7 now from the 44. 8:44 left to go.
I'm working on my get-off, Coach. I'm working on my get-off.
And the beefy guys go out, and they go with the hands people now. So Peter Griffith will check into this contest. Meyer also in. Those two go wide to the top. It is Williams to the bottom. Mason now giving Bryant the play.
Boot pass.
Three to the top.
Nope.
Straight back to throw is Mason. Looking to the single coverage man downfield. There's a little contact with a pass is thrown way out of bounds. Looking for Drew Williams. So it's thrown about 8 to 10 yards out of bounds. 8:20 left to go. And it's fourth down.
Well, that was an out and up. Some people call it a chair route. He just ran down about 8 or 9 yards, took two steps to the outside, and then turned it up, and the ball was way overthrown.
Jake Moore has gotten a workout as a punter here tonight for St. Charles.
That ice will be in the whirlpool that leg will be in the whirlpool sometime tomorrow.
Up guys, Taylor Bryan, in case they're ever in a close contest and want to fake it. High snap, snares that. Nicely done. And a high booming kick, fair catch called for by Cerrone, and it hit his foot. I thought it hit his foot.
They're marking as a fumble, I think. No?
Wow. St. Charles has it. Now, St. Charles thought it hit the foot of Cerrone, too, but they're saying it did not. They're giving it to DeSales.
Well, that ball had better backspin than one of my best wedges. That baby hit and came back big time, and it was within about a foot of a foot.
28 yards on the punt, no return. St. Charles claiming, too, that it hit his toe, but to no avail, so it goes to DeSales. First and 10 from just past the 28-yard line. 8:11 left to go in this one. Larry, you're going to have to hope for a comeback by your Derby Panthers there.
Well, I think they're down, what, 21-17? So there's still time.
I wonder what's going on in the Olentangy schools now with that fourth high school. We've seen the Braves down a little bit perhaps this year. And Berlin?
Good, they've been up too long.
Thank you very much. There you go.
Spoken like a true Derby guy.
Still one of my favorite games to call on TV was that Olentangy Reynoldsburg game where Reynoldsburg led 51-24. We had the rain delay. They came back and scored the last 28 points, and the Braves beat the Raiders 52-51 at 12:14 in the morning. Time capsule moment. Both schools wanted to continue to play. They said they wouldn't change it, except the outcome. The ball is fumbled on a snap. Second teamers out there for DeSales now as well, too, as that quarterback. It's Vince Thompson. Thompson lost the handle, but the Stallions able to cover the ball. In fact, falling on top of it was number 50 for DeSales. Are they going to say St. Charles? Instead, St. Charles coming up with the football at the bottom. It's Max Siren, but they're going to say no. St. Charles had the football in the recovery at the bottom of the stack. That is 6 turnovers for a team that's up 35-7.
Which begs the question, what would it be if they played it?
Yeah.
Which is exactly what we thought might happen.
Meyer and Griffith at the top of the set. Row to the bottom. Row now in motion, bottom to top. Going to get the handoff in stride on the jet sweep. Tries to cut the corner, and he cannot. Great pursuit that time. Ball is the guy that stood him up at the 34-yard line. Then he got some help. Now DeSales says they have the ball as they try to strip it at the end of the play. I'll wait to see what the officials say at the end of each play now. Everybody's going for the football. They're going to say it stays with St. Charles. 7:44 left to go in this contest.
Rodas Johnson's over there pleading his case that he came up with the football, but I don't think it happened.
Are you going to tell him no?
No, you tell him.
Right. Scott, you go tell him. Second down and 8 now.
Scott's a quarterback. He's not telling
21.
Him.
Quick out, pass. Ooh. Incomplete, nearly picked off, and the play is jumping around nicely on the far side of the field for Stallions. One of their DBs that anticipated that little out route.
Mr. Hillary.
Yep. Chip was, actually, I should say, the Carter's nearly able to pick that up.
So he jumped that out route. He jumped it right now. He knew it was going to be a short pass, and he jumped that route, and he had nothing but white lines and green grass. He just hangs on to it.
They need 8 on third down. Down by 28, you know if they don't get it, they'll go for it on fourth down. Now they flop the receivers, and Griffin and Meyer go to the bottom of the set. Williams and Rowe to the top. Eversole in the backfield. And we have whistles before Mason can throw the football. And it's a procedural call. False start is the call against St. Charles, so march it back 5 more. It'll be third down and 12. with 7:21 left to go.
Well, Faulkner came on a blitz that time, and he started somewhere in the secondary, and he was like shot out of a cannon. He hit the line of scrimmage at the snap.
That's a guy that on defense has done a great job against Dunbar. Had that 40-yard interception return for a touchdown, and he's been in on 12 solos, 11 assists, 1.5 tackles for a loss, an interception, and fumble recovery already on the campaign. And a guy that's coming back next year, he's just a junior. You got him as a junior coming back next year. You got Quinn as a linebacker coming back as a sophomore. Jalen Ball is a junior. Third down at 12. Mason throwing downfield, and that one was underthrown, but easier for the receiver to try to come back to the football, but he stumbles down inside the 10, and the pass falls incomplete, so now it's fourth down and 12.
And Mason's hurt.
He's hurt at the 37-yard line.
Rodas Johnson came in and just really just gave him a two-hand shove. And
he's sitting down, and now he's lying down.
I think he got the wind knocked out of him, but, you're talking about a big man. Rodas is 280-plus pounds, and Mason, $140, $150 maybe.
$160 at 6'3". Now, I had Hank Kern as their third quarterback. He's 6'6 and 200, wears number 12.
Well,
either way, this man, Mr. Mason, is going to have to come out for one play as they stop the action. He's moving his arms around and trying to get some circulation going again, but he'll need to go to yet another quarterback. There's somebody on the crutches on the far sideline. You think that's DiNapoli?
Well,
you got the
I got the binocs here, and we'll just see what
he's
got.
He's not wearing a jersey, though. That's going to be hard to tell.
That's the number 70.
Nicholas Putz is number 70.
Well, that's the number on crutches, so Napoli put on about 40 pounds and changed his jersey.
Just to throw you off.
Just saying.
Fourth down play. And blitz is on. Kern rolling to his left, and he stumbles down to the 30-yard line. So Hank Kern comes on and has to run the fourth down play. And he cannot come up with the 12 yards needed, so it goes back to the Sales with 7:10 left to go in this contest. So now if you're looking ahead and you're St. Charles, you go, my goodness, right now we're down to our third quarterback. And we'll see what happens. Next week they have to take on Madison Comprehensive, who is 1-4. Then they take on Waterson, 2-3. Wind up in week 10 with Bishop Hartley at 3-2. For the Sales next week, they take on Terre Haute North, and they'll play that game at Earlham College in Richmond.
Earlham College.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly.
Then they take on Bishop Hartley, Winton Woods, and Bishop Waterson.
Coldest four games I ever umpired.
Thompson hands it off. Backups in there for the Sales in some regard, at quarterback at least in Thompson, but that is ball on the carry, and Jalen gets it up to the 35.
Earlham College versus Denison, four baseball games, never got above 28 degrees. Never got above. One of them was a night game. Well, actually, it started at 6 o'clock, doubleheader.
You know, your brother did a game of mine, and the OCC had a rule that you can't start a game if it's under 40 degrees.
Right.
And he looked at me and goes, Randy, this is for TV. He goes, what do you think the temperature is? I go, 40. He goes, good call. Ball around the right-hand side. And then what happened next proved me to be wrong. We started getting
snow
that turned into a basically sleet.
Good. I'm glad you said 40.
As we cleaned off the infield and we kept going. It was an 11-inning contest as well, too. And it was the first game we'd ever done on Columbus Sports Network. Let's get a quick update after this play. We'll get one more play, and then we got an update from Ryan with 6:12 left to go here in this contest. It's going to be third down and one for the Stallions. Thompson will dump it off. The ball in the flat. Can he get up across the 40-yard line? He does. He's got a first down. Ryan, do you have an update on the Derby score, sir?
I actually do, but first, Reedy has just given up a touchdown, a minute and a half left in that one, so they trail Amanda now 17-14. We'll see if Jack Foley has any magic up his sleeve. Derby scored with 26 seconds left. It has gone final now. They squeak out the win, guys, for you, 24-21.
Attaboy.
Wow. First and 10, Stallions. Ball again on the handoff. Got up to the 42-yard line, and that is it with 5:40 left to go. So DeSales just milking that clock now up by 28. Obviously, another score would make a continuous clock, but Larry,
Right now it's a chance to get some new faces in there. Thompson's been in there at quarterback.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is get one of your starters injured in a 35-7 game with 5 minutes to go.
Dante Fuller also in there from a wideout standpoint, seeing more of Mason Rickens. Some new faces in the line, too. On a second down scenario, second down and 9 from the 42. Thompson to ball again. It's going to be Thompson on the keeper. He accelerates right up the middle and gets whipped down. Thompson gets across midfield and near the sticks of the 49 of St. Charles. And let's see if that's enough for the first down. Yep, they're going to move the sticks and say first down forward to Sales.
It's nice to see a senior backup quarterback get a chance to play some game here.
5'11", 175. He looks pretty smooth right now. They had that first exchange that was a little shaky, but otherwise, done a good job with 4:55 and ticking, 35-7 in this one. Let's see if Reedy has anything left in the tank. A minute and a half left playing at Amanda. And down, what, 17-14?
Yeah, come on, Jack Foley, you can do it. Or somebody else, I don't really care.
Jayshon Norris.
Anybody.
And a whistle and timeout going to be taken now by the Stallions. With 4:37 left to go, we'll pause for 30 seconds. This is the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Education First Credit Union is your total mortgage source. Whether you are looking to buy your first home, refinance your existing home, or take advantage of your home's equity, we are a mortgage lender you can trust. We take pride in providing the most comprehensive line of mortgage products at very competitive rates and terms. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 811029, and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Guys, Watterson getting a couple touchdowns late. It's Hartley 49-14, though, and Fisher Catholic is 4-1 on the year. They've beaten Grove City Christian tonight 23-6.
Good.
Oh, we've got some interesting news, I guess, with Reynoldsburg and Pickerington North, too. So we'll have to get back to Ryan and company with that a little later on. Don't forget, coming up after the game, it is Ryan and Lee, the AMA 20 Scoreboard Show, brought to you by this week's Sports.com and Rev Local Digital Marketing. Ryan and Lee have all the scores, highlights, and coaches' interviews right after the game and right up until 11 o'clock. First and 10 Stallions. And a handoff off the right side. Some new faces in there. Getting the carry that time is Nathan Barber. Barber taking off the right side, 5'10", 170, and a sophomore.
You know, Randy, I want to throw out some kudos to our staff back at the station for last week's scoreboard show. It was 12-plus. I don't know. It was in the morning when I was still, you know, driving home, and here I'm listening to the scores at after midnight. It was awesome. So great job back there with Bake and the boys.
I tell you what, Baker did a great job, and Andy Resnick as well, too. And I just enjoyed the fact that we had that hour and 45 additional minutes for our pregame show. It was great to bounce it back and forth between Ryan and you and me and Scott and I going down talking to Bruce Maurer, our referee. And he's sitting in a lawn chair looking at the sky. I thought he had a fly swatter in his hand and maybe some s'mores or something, too. Is that time, Barber tries to turn the corner, but he's just looking at the sky, sitting in a chair the entire time, waiting to see if he could see any more lightning. And every time he saw it, it was another 30 minutes. And finally, we got that game going at 8:28 last Friday night, and it was worth the wait.
Oh, yeah. Great game.
3.5 left to go on this one. Nobody would have believed that it would have been 7-7 at half, and then after three quarters, the Sales was able to motor out and get another touchdown here in the fourth, and now up 35-7. On a third down play, they keep it on the ground, and Barber gets up to the 47-yard line before Griffith knocks him down there.
Okay, so let's just give this St. Charles team a grade. When we saw them in week one, it was probably a D-minus F. I mean, it really was it was just not a good performance. Even by their standards, they would say absolutely a horrible performance. But tonight, they stood toe-to-toe with this DeSales team for an entire half, 7-7. Quarterback got hurt, which really limited them on offense, and then it made their defense stay out there more and more. So I'm going to give them a B-minus tonight. Not an A, but a B-minus.
I thought that's what you were going to say, too.
They can still get better, but I see them tackling better. They're running the ball better. They're getting off the ball better on offense.
Quinn, 10 carries, 134 yards. Velasquez, 12 for 144. Running the ball, 2 touchdowns. He's thrown for a couple touchdowns as well, too. And 5-yard penalty going against the Stallions. Does it take too long? Oh, we got to pick a Martin J. Mitchell player of the game. Yeah, you want to go off the board here and go
I'm
Karras?
Going good defense. Let's go with Mr. Karras. He's all had right. a good ball game. He's been a backup. And you know what? He played hard. He knocked down a couple balls tonight. He had some tackles.
I like that pick. You know who else likes it? Mr. Karras. Yeah.
Sure.
Fourth down and a furlong. So you lose five more. Punting situation now for Cerrone. It's going to hit out of bounds.
Well, that's a good old-fashioned Larry Wolf shankopotamus shot there. That was beautiful.
Let's see where they mark this out. I'm going to say the 36-yard line, according to line judge Patrick Hunter. So 23 yards on the punt, no return, with 2:09 left to go in this contest, and the ball goes back to St. Charles, down 35-7 in this one. Ryan, do you have a quick score while we're waiting right now, sir?
Well, Randy, we're just looking here. A lot of games are going final. Liberty and Westerville Central, a pretty good matchup that we haven't talked about much tonight. That one is 16-14 right now. Olentangy Liberty late in that one, so we got a close one there. And, guys, we're going to have a big performance from Whitehall's quarterback, Raymel Bird, we'll talk about tonight on the AMA 20 scoreboard show.
We look forward to that. Handoff on the first down play goes to Fitzpatrick. He gets it up across the 40 to the 41-yard line. He'll pick up about five on the play, second down and five from there, as St. Charles is keeping the ball on the ground. Some fresh faces out there for St. Charles on offense as they try to go ahead and see what they can find and give those that practice all week a chance to contribute in a regular contest with 1:40 left to go. And they'll keep it on the ground. And again, Fitzpatrick, there's a flag on the play. It's good to see that Mason, by the way, is out there running the offense again. So despite the ding that he took from Rodas Johnson, he's back out there. The flag along the far side of the field is going to be a procedural call. I'm going to say they didn't have seven men on the line of scrimmage that time because it was not a false start. It was not stopped before the play. So we'll call that procedural call because they didn't have the far end, it looked like, on the line of scrimmage. So mark it back to the 36-yard line. And they need to get it up to the 46. So the five they gain, those 5 yards have been negated with 1:30 left to go in this one. And St. Charles not in a hurry right now, knowing that this game is no longer in doubt, down by 28 points back from an eye now. Again, Hunter's got it, and Hunter becomes the hunted. He got up to the 37, maybe the 38-yard line, and that's about it. Clock down to 1 minute left to go as Larry Wolf is making his way down on the field with majestic strides right now, Larry. And what's, oh, look at this. All right, Desmond.
They're on radio. They can't look at this.
That's why I'm painting the picture for them. You could be Fabio for all they know right now.
Ooh, watch what you say.
50 seconds left to go. What's the atmosphere like down there, and what's the temperature like?
It's actually pretty comfortable. This is a perfect night for football. It's probably, I'm going to say, in the high 50s, and it's no wind down here on the field at all. It's a beautiful night for football.
3rd and 9, the handoff goes to Ebersole, who finds a gap, takes it up to the 45, to the 47, and St. Charles will maintain possession for what it's worth with 32 seconds left to go. The clock will start again once they move the sticks, and we may have one more play, and that would be it if they keep it on the ground. So, Larry, you are armed with the award-winning Martin J. Mitchell trophy to give to
Mr. Karras
and company, and also probably presented just to Ryan Wiggins. So
I will.
Again, it seems like a subdued DeSales sideline, though, right now.
It is. They know they've got big fish to fry coming down the pike here, and they just have to take care of their business. And right now, tonight, they had 6 turnovers on offense. That's not going to make for a very friendly film room in the morning.
So Ebersole again takes it right up the gut. Picks up about 9, and that will mean that is the last play of the game as DeSales controls the second half. They outscore St. Charles 28-0 in the second half, and they get the victory in this one by a count of 35-7 as DeSales now marches to 4-2 on the campaign. St. Charles now falls to 2-4, and that's their first matchup in the CCL for both of these squads this season. So St. Charles with the loss, looking forward to the game next week against Madison, and DeSales next week will take on Terre Haute North, and again, that game being played at Earlham College over in Richmond, Indiana. And Larry is hunting down Ryan Wiggins. How's the hunt going so far, Larry?
There's a whole lot of big, ugly guys in my way. I'm not going to tell them to get out of the way.
And you would be what in that equation? Handsome?
I'm a little ugly guy.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, but it all works out for me.
So, Larry down on the field, and momentarily he'll get a chance to talk to Ryan Wiggins. And don't forget, just around the corner, it is the AMA 20 scoreboard show. So many interesting contests to talk about tonight. And Ryan and Lee will have all the information up to 11. They will not go to 12:15 like they did last week.
So that's coming up in mere moments. But right now, Larry is standing by on the field with the head coach of the Stallions, Ryan Wiggins.
I'm doing real well, Ryan. Obviously not an artistic game on the offensive side. Your defense did wake up a little bit there, especially probably middle of the second quarter, and shut them down pretty well. You got to be happy with the defensive side.
I was. You know, it's a team game, and defense hung in there a little bit. That was a big stop after the interception down here to hold them to no points. You know, you like to come out and play a lot cleaner, obviously, but with some of the changes we made and you know, what happened under center last week and all that, I thought we weathered the storm, and that's the important thing, is we stuck together and weathered the storm.
Well, the good news is you've got some bright spots. You know that Joey Velasquez can actually throw the ball, and you know you guys have guys that can catch it and run it. You just got to put the pieces together and see if he can get a ball that he likes to throw in an area he likes to throw it.
Right. I mean, you know, obviously just going in there and using your athletic ability is one thing, but there's a lot to it, and he needs time to get better, but his athleticism can make up for some mistakes. And then most importantly, he's one of our very best guys and our senior and a leader, and we're happy to put it in their hands.
Yeah, it's not too bad to have a Joey Velasquez and say, hey, you're our backup quarterback. Go out there and do what you can do. We're going to present you with the Martin J. Mitchell Award tonight for Chris Karras. He's a backup defensive end, but he had a great game tonight, knocked down a couple balls, made some tackles, and did a good job on the defensive line.
Chris did a great job. I thought some of these plays down here where we stopped him were huge. The tackles for loss, the sack. And he's an athletic guy, so I'm glad he's getting a chance to show what he can do.
Well, congratulations to you and the Stallions, and who we have next week?
We got to go to Indiana, all the way to Earlham and College, and play a team out of Indiana at Terre Haute North. So we'll put the pieces together and see what we got, and you know, go out of state and try to get another win.
Well, good luck to you, and good luck to the Stallions the rest of the year.
Thanks.
Yeah, the one caveat I would add to that is don't let Larry Wolf scout the team, because he'll probably look at the tape and pick the wrong team.
It'll be the wrong. If both teams wear red and black, you got to pick one. We just picked the wrong one.
If you want to stay down there, we'll take a break and do the close when we come back. 35-7, the final tally in this one. This is the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Bob Boyd Auto Family here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hi, I'm Mike D'Andrea from Miracle Motor Mart. Did you know that 2 years ago in the United States, auto dealers leased more cars that year than in any other year? Now these lease returns are coming back, and because there are so many vehicles available, prices are low. Check out our website at MiracleMotorMart.com and view around 400 vehicles well below normal retail value. Interest rates and prices are at all-time lows, so it is a great time to buy a car at MiracleMotorMart.com.
Children don't learn their identity from a mirror. When they're first born, they learn right away by looking at mom and dad. I am precious. I am worth dying for. And if you're adopted, you learn that from your adoptive parents. Somehow we get it in our heads that we have to earn the love of God, or that God angrily pushes us away when we sin. We think we can increase our value by our accomplishments. We think we can lose our worth through our flaws. I don't love my kids because of what they do. I love them because of who they are. They're mine. Whether my child becomes a millionaire or a saint or, God forbid, an addict, that kid will always be mine, always be worth dying for. God loves us for the same reason. Isaiah 43:1, you are mine. He thinks we're worth dying for. No act of grace or sin can change that. As you strive to be all you can be, don't forget who you are. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
Education First Credit Union offers our members a variety of products and services to meet all their financial needs.
Since 1936, our values haven't changed. It's always been about putting our members' financial best interests first.
Becoming a member of Education First Credit Union is easy.
Simply visit us online, in person, or give us a call. Together, we are better.
Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
We at Solazzo Marble and Granite cheer on our Catholic high school teams. We are Ohio's premier provider of gorgeous marble, granite, travertine, and stone tile with the largest selections in the area. Our stone experts are knowledgeable and professional with a 50-year reputation for completing projects on time and on budget. Visit our warehouse and personally select the right stone for your home. Online at solazzomarble.com.
Welcome back one final time to Alumni Stadium as DeSales gets the victory over St. Charles 35-7. Randy Reinhart, along with Larry Wolf, who's still down in the field. And Larry, I've got some of the final numbers up here from this contest. Total offense, DeSales 367 yards, 333 rushing, 34 passing. And for St. Charles, 116 total offense, 89 on the ground, 27 in the air. 7 first downs for St. Charles, 16 for DeSales. There were 20 accepted penalties. Yardage, 1 yard difference between the two. DeSales 11 for 81, and for St. Charles, it's 9 for 81. Fumble by St. Charles, 6 turnovers by DeSales, 3 fumbles, 3 interceptions in this contest. Larry, your final thoughts about this victory?
Well, I think the game ended up score-wise where we thought it might end up, but the way we got there was a little surprising with the 6 turnovers by DeSales. That was surprising. I know they've got a new quarterback, and there was some, you know, some foibles there with the offense where things didn't go right. But I think they'll clean most of that up. I think this St. Charles team is greatly improved, vastly improved from when we first saw them. And they're playing better football. And I think DeSales, they're going to have to get some things righted in a hurry because obviously they've got a big game next week, and then they've got the Hawks coming up. So this is going to be a tough row for them to hoe.
We'll have DeSales and Hartley coming up in a couple of weeks. Next week we have Academy taking on Reedy over at Fortress Obetz. It should be a lot of fun.
Outstanding.
Keep the microphone. Just walk over to Fortress Obetz from there if that's okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. It was worth a try. Larry, thank you for a great job as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
I'll be here.
All right. Thank you very much for listening tonight. 35-7, the final score. Don't forget the AM 820 scoreboard show is next right up until 11 o'clock. 35-7, the final tally. We'll say it one more time. DCL Game of the Week, presented by the Bob Boyd Auto Family here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20. Good night, and God bless.
You have been listening to the CCL Football Game of the Week. The CCL Football Game of the Week was brought to you by the Bob Boyd Auto Family. Your play-by-play announcer tonight was Randy Reinhart, along with color analyst coach Larry Wolf. Join us again next week as Reedy takes on Columbus Academy. Coverage beginning at 6 p.m. with the Catholic High School Football Preview Show. Get all the area scores with the AM 820 Scoreboard Show next.
Do you feel called to a career in ministry? Continue.